Hey everyone, welcome back. Today we're diving into a lecture by Dr. John Oswalt, a leading scholar of the Old Testament. He's walking us through two kings, specifically the reigns of Manasseh and Ammon, a couple of kings of Judah who, well, let's just say things get complicated with these two.
What's interesting is where they fall in the timeline. These kings come right after Hezekiah, who led a pretty significant spiritual revival.
So we're looking at what happens when that energy fades, and more importantly, what does it really mean to trust God when things don't go as planned?
Yeah, because Dr. Oswalt calls Hezekiah's revival a blip. He points out how quickly things revert back to the old ways once Manasseh takes over.
It's almost like all that progress just vanishes.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt that?
Yeah.
Like you're pushing for a change and then it just fizzles out.
Oh, for
Can
sure.
be so disheartening.
It is. And that blip analogy is really striking because it highlights how fragile change can be if it's not deeply rooted. Dr. Oswalt goes on to use this powerful metaphor of a die being cast by Manasseh's actions. His choices set a course that had consequences for generations. It's a bit unsettling when you think about it. Like, our choices today could have ripple effects we can't even fathom.
Whoa, the die is cast metaphor is intense. It's like once a choice is made, its impact echoes through time. Can you break that down a little more? What's the significance of Dr. Oswalt using that specific imagery?
It speaks to the gravity of Manasseh's choices, which went far beyond personal failings. He led the entire nation down a path that veered sharply away from their covenant with God. Dr. Oswalt doesn't hold back when he describes the extent of Manasseh's actions. He calls them evil in the eyes of the Lord, which is pretty strong language, right?
It is.
He reintroduced practices that had been abolished, like idol worship and even child sacrifice.
That's heavy stuff.
It is.
Bringing back child sacrifice, that seems especially egregious.
Yeah.
It almost makes you wonder, how could someone go so far astray
Right.
after a period of revival like the one Hezekiah led?
It's a potent reminder that spiritual progress isn't always linear. There can be setbacks, even regressions, and Manasseh's reign is a stark example of that.
It is.
It forces us to confront the reality that even with positive momentum, staying true to one's faith can be a daily battle.
Absolutely. And Dr. Oswald doesn't just focus on Manasseh's actions. He talks about how the land itself could not stand the people. What does that phrase even mean? Is he talking about some kind of ecological disaster?
That's where it gets really interesting. In Israelite theology, the land was more than just a physical place. It was considered holy, given to them by God. So the phrase, the land could not stand the people, speaks to a level of spiritual corruption so profound that it disrupted the very fabric of their existence. The land, in a sense, rejected their presence.
That's a powerful image.
It is.
So it's not just about the individual actions, but the cumulative effect of a society turning away from God to the point that it impacts their relationship with the very land they inhabit.
And Dr. Oswalt draws a parallel between Manasseh's actions and the practices of the Canaanites, the people who occupied the land before the Israelites. It's like by embracing those practices, they were essentially becoming like the very people God had driven out.
Talk about a complete reversal. It's almost like by turning their backs on God, they were also turning their backs on their own identity and heritage. But wasn't there some mention of Manasseh repenting later in his life?
That's where things get a bit more nuanced. The Book of Chronicles mentions Manasseh's repentance, but it's absent in Kings.
Interesting.
This discrepancy raises some thought-provoking questions.
Yeah.
Does it matter if someone repents if the consequences of their actions have already been set in motion?
Right.
It challenges the notion that we can simply undo the past with a change of heart.
It does.
What are your thoughts on this?
I mean, it's a tough concept to grapple with, isn't it?
It is.
That even if someone genuinely turns their life around, the effects of their past choices might continue to reverberate. It makes me wonder about the lasting impact our actions can have, even when we try to make amends.
It's a heavy thought.
It is. It's definitely a humbling thought that our actions could have unintended consequences that reach far beyond ourselves. And speaking of consequences, Dr. Oswald doesn't stop with Manasseh.
Right.
He brings up his son Ammon, who seems to follow right in his father's footsteps.
It's like the cycle of bad choices just keeps repeating.
It is fascinating, isn't it?
It is.
The Book of Two Kings tells us Ammon reigned for just 2 years.
Right.
But in that short time, he doubled down on the same idolatrous practices that had brought such devastation to Judah.
Yeah. Dr. Oswald uses Ammon's reign to highlight the cyclical nature of sin.
Okay.
How patterns of behavior can be passed down through generations.
Generations.
Yeah. It makes you wonder about the forces that shape our choices.
Right.
Are we truly free agents?
Yeah.
Or are we products of our environment, our upbringing, the choices made by those who came before us?
That's a big question, and I think it's one we all wrestle with in different ways.
For sure.
I mean, I've definitely caught myself repeating patterns I swore I'd break.
Yeah.
Even though I know better.
Totally.
It's almost like we're predisposed to certain behaviors,
yeah,
even ones that we know aren't good for us.
It's a powerful concept, and it connects to Dr. Oswald's earlier point about the land not being able to stand the people.
Right.
If we think about sin as something that affects not just individuals, but entire communities, even the physical environment.
Right.
It makes those cyclical patterns seem even more insidious.
Right. It's not just a personal failing. It's something that ripples outward, impacting everything around us.
It is.
So if Ammon is basically Manasseh 2.0, does that mean there's no hope for breaking these cycles?
Right.
Are we all destined to repeat the mistakes of the past?
Well, Dr. Oswald doesn't leave us in a place of despair.
Okay, good.
He reminds us that even in the midst of these deeply flawed leaders,
yeah,
there's a glimmer of hope, the people's enduring loyalty to the Davidic dynasty.
Okay.
Even after witnessing the disastrous reigns of Manasseh and Ammon,
mm-hmm,
they clung to the belief that a righteous king from David's line would eventually emerge.
Interesting.
It speaks to a deep-seated faith.
Yeah.
A belief in God's promises, even when circumstances seem to contradict them.
That's actually pretty inspiring.
It is.
Would have been easy to give up, to lose faith in the whole system.
Oh, yeah.
But they held on to that hope.
Yeah.
It makes me think about how often we're tempted to throw in the towel when things get tough. We see the same problems recurring in our lives, in our communities, in the world at large.
For sure.
And it's easy to become cynical.
Right.
To think nothing ever really changes.
Yeah. But the story of Manasseh Ammon and the people's persistent hope points to a different possibility.
Okay.
It suggests that even when we make terrible mistakes, even when we seem trapped in destructive patterns,
yeah,
there's always a chance for redemption.
Redemption.
It might not be immediate. It might not be easy.
Right.
But the possibility exists.
Okay.
And that possibility is rooted in God's faithfulness, his commitment to his people, even when they stray from the path.
Okay. So that's reassuring. But how do we actually break free from these cycles?
Right.
It's easy to talk about hope and redemption.
Yeah.
But what does that look like in practice?
Sure.
Dr. Oswald talks about repentance.
Right.
And how even that doesn't necessarily erase the consequences of past actions.
You're right. True repentance is more than just saying, I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's about a change of heart, a turning away from destructive patterns.
Well,
a commitment to aligning our lives with God's will.
Okay.
And yes, even when we genuinely repent, we still have to grapple with the consequences of our choices.
Right.
But Dr. Oswald is suggesting that repentance opens the door to healing,
yeah,
to growth, to the possibility of a different future.
Yeah.
Both for ourselves and for those around us.
So it's not about erasing the past.
Right.
But about changing the trajectory of the future.
Right.
About acknowledging the harm we've caused and taking responsibility for our actions.
Yes.
While also holding on to the hope that we can still make things better.
Exactly. And that's where trust comes in.
Okay.
That deep-seated trust in God's grace and mercy.
Aye.
That allows us to let go of the past and move forward with a renewed sense of purpose.
Okay.
It's a difficult process, no doubt.
Yeah.
But I think Dr. Oswald is arguing that it's the only path to true freedom, both individually and collectively.
This brings us to another fascinating point Dr. Oswald makes about the people's attachment to the Davidic dynasty. He suggests their religion had become more about lineage and tradition than a genuine relationship with Yahweh.
And he even suggests that God might have allowed the Davidic kingship to end to break this unhealthy fixation.
That's a pretty radical thought, right?
It is.
I mean, we often talk about the importance of tradition and heritage in our faith.
Right.
But what if those things become obstacles to experiencing God in a deeper way?
It's a question worth pondering.
Yeah.
Are we clinging to external markers of faith, lineage, rituals, institutions?
Yeah.
Or are we truly seeking a connection with the divine that transcends those things?
Right.
It makes me think about the times I've gone through the motions of religious practice without really engaging my heart.
Right.
It's easy to fall into a pattern of simply doing what's expected without asking the deeper questions.
Yeah.
Without seeking a personal encounter with God.
So how do we move beyond just the outward show of faith and cultivate that deep abiding trust that allows us to weather the storms of life, the setbacks, the disappointments, the consequences of our own mistakes and the mistakes of others?
I think that's a question we'll continue to explore in the final part of our deep dive.
We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive from Hezekiah's revival that Dr. Oswalt called a blip to the destructive reigns of Manasseh and Amon. And now we're left wrestling with this question of how to cultivate a deep and lasting trust in God, especially when the world around us feels chaotic and uncertain.
It's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And there's no easy answer, no magic formula, but Dr. Oswalt offers some insights that I think are worth exploring further. He talks about trust as a continual way of life, something we actively choose each and every day, not a one-time decision we make and then forget about.
That resonates with me. It's easy to get complacent to think, okay, I've got this faith thing figured out, and then life throws a curveball and suddenly you're questioning everything. It's like trust is a muscle that needs to be exercised regularly to stay strong.
I love that analogy, trust as a muscle. And like any muscle, it can get weak if we neglect it. Dr. Oswalt emphasizes the importance of spiritual disciplines, prayer, meditation, study of scripture, as ways to strengthen that trust muscle. It's not just about going through the motions. It's about actively engaging with our faith, seeking to deepen our understanding of God and His ways.
So it's about intentionality, about making time and space for those practices, even when we're busy, even when we're tired, even when we don't feel like it. And it's about being honest with ourselves about where we're at in our faith journey.
Exactly. We all have doubts. We all go through periods of questioning and uncertainty, but those moments don't negate our faith. They're actually part of the journey. Dr. Oswalt reminds us that trust isn't about blind faith. It's about choosing to believe, even when we don't have all the answers, even when things don't make sense.
It's like that saying, leap of faith.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just have to take that step into the unknown, trusting that God will meet you there. But that can be terrifying, especially if you've been hurt or disappointed in the past.
It absolutely can be. And that's where the community of faith comes in. We weren't meant to walk this journey alone. We need each other for support, encouragement, accountability. Sometimes we need someone to remind us of God's faithfulness when we can't see it for ourselves. And sometimes we need to be that person for someone else.
It's like we're all interconnected, each of us playing a part in weaving this tapestry of faith. And even when individual threads seem frayed or broken, the overall pattern holds. It's a powerful image.
It is. And it brings us back to the story of Manasseh and Amon. Their reigns were marked by brokenness, by a profound betrayal of trust. But even in the midst of that darkness, there were glimmers of hope, the people's enduring loyalty to the Davidic dynasty, the prophets who continued to speak truth to power the eventual emergence of Josiah, a king who would lead a sweeping religious reform.
It's a reminder that even when things seem hopeless, God is still working. His plans might unfold in ways we don't understand, but we can trust that He's ultimately guiding us toward a greater purpose.
And that purpose is rooted in love, even when we make terrible mistakes. Even when we stray from the path, God's love never fails. He's always there waiting for us to turn back to Him, offering us grace and forgiveness and a chance to start anew.
That's a powerful message of hope, especially in a world that often feels so divided and broken. It's a reminder that we're not defined by our mistakes. We're defined by God's love for us.
And that love empowers us to live lives of trust, to step out in faith, to make a difference in the world. It's not always easy, but it's always worth it.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the reigns of Manasseh and Amon. It's been a challenging but ultimately hopeful journey.
It has, and I hope our listeners will continue to ponder these questions of trust and faith long after this episode is over. How can we live lives that reflect God's love and faithfulness in a world that desperately needs it?
That's a question worth asking ourselves each and every day. Until next time, keep seeking, keep questioning, and keep trusting.